Hello friends and welcome to Fey Earth, a magical world set in an alternate 19th century Earth, where every creature from folklore and fairy tale is real, have always been real, and lived alongside humanity. Join our adventurers as they explore a world of arcane mysteries and danger, where the new scientific and industrial age collides with an ancient world of fairy and magic.
Hello, my name is Neil. I am the creator and designer of Fey Earth, an indie TTRPG set in an alternate 19th century Earth where all the creatures and folklore and fairy tale are real, have always been real, and live alongside humanity. Our game is set in the year 1872, and we are currently in Paris, where our band of brave adventurers have been engaging in a bunch of different activities, mostly for a new kind of employer, a artificer by the name of Madame Josephine Gautier, who one of our players has developed a very strong relationship with. But right now, things are going very interesting. And who would like to give us a recap of our last session?
I'll better do it, because I might need the inspiration.
need the inspiration dice.
What happened was that Gwyn basically got set up in a shack pad to say, like, you know, to make things short. And she was, before that, she was asked to accompany Josephine to a ball and got a dress ordered and all that. And Sylvia has been studying the book we found in the Goblin's house, the tome, and her and Justine had a lovely, socially awkward encounter because Justine got, like, little trinkets for, like, little pendants for all the spellcasters that she's gonna do, she's gonna cast a spell on it to make it into a, or all of them, to make them into a mana receptacle, but she hasn't really said anything. And yeah, she just stretched out her hand to Sylvia, was like, there you go, like, it was, yeah, it was a bit awkward. And Mina was out as well, gotten herself a place in Montmartre because she kind of feels like, you know, she can't just mooch off Aminata all the time, and she also kind of needs a bit of her own space after everything that happened. And yeah, so that is, you know, in a nutshell, that is basically what happened.
Okay, you have 1d8 inspiration that you can use at any stage in the game for any one singular ability check. Okay, so when last we had left our heroes, Mina was currently walking along the banks of the Seine beside Notre Dame and had just been brought down in towards the, along the side of the riverbank towards the river by this very slight fey-touched woman, young woman, early mid-20s, who she was rendezvousing with for what she's doing this evening. And she pulled back a grate, and you have started making your way into the sewers. And she says, don't worry, we're only going a little bit, and then we take a couple of turns left and right. It's actually not that hard to find your way there and back, okay? But we're getting deeper into the catacombs where it's, well, a bit drier. It certainly smells a bit better. Okay? So, yeah. My name is Suzette. What's your name?
Mina. Lovely to... Enchanté. Lovely to meet you.
Okay. Well, so, I'm not gonna lie. I was a bit surprised when Claire told me we had a new fighter as a woman. I was expecting somebody bigger.
Oh, well, you know. We can't all be big.
Okay. You do realize that this isn't like that new boxing that they have over in England with the rules.
Yeah, I do. Queen Spiritus, you mean? No, no, no.
I don't That's know what fine. Queen it is. This is France. We don't have any queens.
Yeah, you're better off.
Well, you're a what? Swiss? Prussian? Austrian? What are you?
Swiss.
Okay. You guys don't have queens either.
Nope.
Okay. And she's leading you along through these tunnels. Like, it's not a massive maze. You just go down about 20 meters, and then if there's a, there's like a not a T-junction, a four-way crossroads, if you will. And she takes a right, going down about another 10 meters, and then there's a small section, there's a small doorway, if you will, cut into the stone,
like,
into the
brick. Mina will actively be trying
to remember
the name, the way, but everything, all the bones and stuff, like, I don't think there's many distinguishing.
You haven't gotten into that yet, you're still in the sewers, but, like, you're
walking No, we're still along. In the sewers, so, with all the stinkiness, I don't think I should remember.
Like, you're only about 40 meters in, you know? You went down 20, then you went right for about another 20, and then you see there's a step up, and there's, like, a doorway cut into the stonework, and she leads you through there into a drier tunnel section, and now you start seeing bone. You're now coming into the catacombs. Okay. And it is exactly like, if anybody wants to do an image search of the Parisian catacombs, I think I heard somewhere it was estimated maybe 100,000 people are possibly buried there. Like, it was used
Something like that.
It was used crazy. For a long time. I'm not sure. I think they might have started using it when the Black Death rolled around the first time, because they have
That's all what these, I read as well.
All these bodies we need to get rid of, and we've nowhere to bury them, so they interred them in these catacombs. So so there's these, like, it's quite macabre, that you've got these, like, hundreds of skulls stacked on top of each other. Now, they're not forming a wall structure. They're clearly stacked into, like, shelving and alcoves in the stonework itself, if that makes sense, you know? But there's hundreds of them going along for, a good 15, 20 minutes. And then there's another left. And then there's another right. And you do spot that they actually have fairy globes ensconced into the walls to provide light. They're not using oil or paraffin torches or anything like that. They're using fairy globes, which means that they don't have to worry about running out of fuel, you know, far more efficient. So you do have light. Although, you being Fey Touched, you would have been able to see in the dark fine, and she is Fey Touched. And she says, it's usually a pretty big crowd at these things. Have you ever done something like this before?
Just in a bar.
Well, that doesn't count. All right.
No.
So, look, I'm going to be blunt and honest with you, okay? And this isn't because we're friends. It's because this is our business, okay? The fights, we like them to last a while. Try not to die.
So, I've been told, yes.
Try not to die, because that just makes things complicated for us dealing with a body, okay? It's not super complicated. The river's right there. But still, try not to die. We don't like the fights to be over quick. So don't be trying to get lucky shots in. Although, like, I'm not even sure who you're fighting. There's, like, two or three guys tonight. And most of them are pretty big. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be hard to be bigger than you. Yeah, there's a lot of very wealthy people who come here to watch the fights and to place bets. Okay? And if you do well in the fight, maybe you'll get introduced to some of these wealthy people. Some of our fighters have in the past managed to get sponsorship from certain wealthy individuals from Parisian high society. Who knows? Maybe they'll find a nice, pretty girl like you to be an interesting thing to sponsor.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So as she's having this conversation, she's continuing to lead you along the way, and so you start hearing voices and noises, and you come up into a space where the tunnel has come out into a large, very wide, open, square space, all right? it's pretty big. It's like over 20 meters across by maybe 10, 15 meters deep. Okay. Large square space, vaulted arch works. And there's like a couple of pillars coming up to support the structure. All right. And they have seating put in. It's fairly crude, wooden planks kind of stacked up on bricks. This is not fancy stuff. Okay. And in the center, there is a, there's a loosely marked out section in the sandy dirt, all right? So they don't have, like, proper ropes, if you get what I mean, okay? But so they have a loosely marked out spot. And you see there's, you see the guy who you'd met before, who'd introduced himself as Eau Claire. So he's standing talking to some very, very wealthy looking people, okay? And you see some more people who are coming in, but they're coming from a different direction, okay? So you're getting the impression that you were maybe brought in through the servants' entrance, okay? The rich people aren't walking through the sewer water.
Through the sewers, they walk somewhere else. They're
coming directly down into the catacomb tunnels. And I'm not sure, but I think there was one or two churches in Paris whose crypts led into the catacombs. I think
I think other places that go in as well. Yeah. So yeah.
Nobody quote me on this, okay? I am not an expert on Parisian history, but I think I did hear that before, okay? And so anyway, Eau Claire's talking to a few people, okay? You do see standing a bit off to the side this huge guy. He's clearly fey touch, probably has some giant blood in him. Like, this guy is over 2 meters tall. Okay? Massive. Solid wall of muscle, okay? Wearing pretty simple linens and brown wools, and he's kind of just scanning the crowd. And you do see a couple of other, there's about three or four other guys kind of stand wandering around, and they've got clubs. And Suzette turns like, so if you step outside the ring, those guys with the clubs, they'll shove you back in. If you do it too many times, they'll use the club to shove you back in. Okay. So yeah. Now, damn it.
I cannot believe Mina is doing this.
People settle down. It's like another 10 minutes.
I remember her doing this after we found out Luis. So.
You
didn't go well that time.
Of course, Sylvia, you were there, weren't you? You were in a beast form.
No,
it was Gwyn.
No, that was Gwyn.
Yeah. Gwyn, but kind of only at the end. So
Sylvia would have intervened.
Yeah, that's true. Sylvia is the man. Now, when you come in, some people are looking strangely at you because you're clearly not here as an attendee. You're not well dressed enough. But you're a woman. Yep. So they're like, who the fuck is this, you know?
Who the fuck is this?
They're not automatically assuming, oh, well.
I was hoping for the novelty of this, yes.
Yeah, so they're not assuming you're a fighter, but yeah. After about 10 minutes, Eau Claire gets people to settle down. Eau Claire stands up in the middle of the ring. He's like, oh, bonjour, madame, mesdames, messieurs. Thank you for coming to what we hope to be another great night tonight. We have two fights lined up tonight for you. We have a newcomer tonight. A trained warrior from the Swiss Guard. You did give him your full name, didn't you?
No. I just said Mina.
Okay, right. I couldn't remember. Okay. So a trained warrior from the Swiss Guard fighting one of our regulars. This should be an interesting fight. A very interesting fight, in fact. He is strong, powerful. She is small and fast. At least I hope so for her sake. So, we have our regular Alex Poitier, and this massive brute of a guy steps forward. He's shirtless, large guy, big kind of messy kind of square head, broken nose, thick neck, a big gut belly, okay? And he's walking forward. And fighting him, Mina! And he gestures for you, and Suzette kind of gives you a shove in towards the ring.
Oh, I'll go in. Give him, like, people a bit of a wave, like, you know what I mean?
He does that thing that guys do in the movies where he cracks his neck and he starts cracking his knuckles. And, like, his hands are, like, the size of your face. This guy is huge. Okay? Human, not fey-touched, but just a big beast of a guy. All right?
I go up to him and I hold out my hand. Yeah, I'm going to hold out my hand and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, good fight, like, you know.
He doesn't know what hopefully. To do. Like, he's like, he goes to take your hand and he doesn't know what to. He's clearly not used to this, you know.
I'm just shaking his hands and I'm like, yeah, good luck, so hopefully we'll give them a good show, like, you know. And then I'm going to step back to my side.
His fighter's ready, and then he hits this bell you hadn't noticed before, and as soon as the bell dings, this guy comes charging at you. So I'll have you roll initiative for me, please. Oh, well, I rolled terribly there.
Okay, that is a 12. What's my fucking initiative?
I rolled a 1. Okay, so you don't need to worry.
Oh, 4. Okay. 4. 4. Yes. 16, 12 isn't it? And 4 is 16.
Yeah, I rolled a 1. Okay, so. Okay, so he's coming charging at you, but you're going to be the first to act. So, what are you doing?
Oh God.
Sorry to interrupt, can I just say, he's charging at you, so if you want, you can say that you wait for him to come into you to use your two minor actions for each of your two attacks. You don't have to say, I charge at him. You know, we can say,
no,
wait so that you can do your
two. I actually feel like I will be trying to figure out his fighting style.
He's charging at you. There's no way to know at this instant.
And if he's charging at me, I'm trying to dodge.
Okay, well, are you gonna hit him though?
I just kind of get in a defensive stance. I'll wait patiently for him to come and run into my fist.
So when he closes in on you, you get to attack first. Are you using any of your feats?
I will. Well, I have
you have quick attack.
Pugilism. Yeah. And I have quick attack. So I'll do that. Okay, yes, so I'll use my quick attack.
Okay, so roll to attack. And with your unarmed strikes, it's a plus 6 to your rolls.
It is, yes. Yeah,
plus 6.
Ooh, that is another 12. Plus 6 is
18.
18.
That is a hit.
18.
But it is not enough to activate the feat.
Okay. That's fine.
It does mean Mina gets 2 attacks anyway, though, right?
Yeah, she does. But this would have meant an extra attack. It would have been 3. So you do attempt. You don't get the feat in. You've spent 1 minor action. Your first attack is going to land. Do you want to just roll for your second attack now?
Yes.
Cool.
That's an 11.
Total?
No, 11 and 6 is 17.
That's it. So both attacks land. Cool. It's 1d8 plus 4.
Well, let me just find an 2d8 so I can do both at the same time. And I always find d8s and d10s, I swear. A dissect. Why do I never bloody find my DHC? It's a mystery to me. Okay, so the first hit is I rolled a 2 plus
4.
So it's 6. And then with the second one, I rolled an 8 plus 4.
That's
12. So that's 12.
Okay, you still have a minor action left. Do you want to save it to attempt to parry against him?
Yes.
Because you can.
Yes.
We're not parrying with a blade, but you are parrying with your fists.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask if I could do that.
Absolutely.
So yes. I will totally keep my for a reaction, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus,
what I'm going to say here is, so you have the disarming parry feat. which you can't use here because you can't disarm an unarmed.
No.
But you have the parrying.
But I have the normal parry. So I have the parrying as such anyway, as well. Like,
yep. He rolls to attack. Oh my god, first roll was a nat 1. I'm changing out that die. That's like the second nat 1 I've rolled so far with that die.
Because obviously, if he's just with a fist, it's not like I can punch his hand off, like so.
That would be very cool.
That is just for somebody comes with me.
It's Fist of the North Star.
Okay, right. Yeah, could you imagine, like.
Both swings miss. I rolled a 1 and a 5. So, massive haymaker. You completely dodge down. And then he tries to do an uppercut and you step back. Okay?
Yeah.
We're now at the start of the new initiative order. So, you are the first to act still. So, pop, pop.
Yep. Pop, pop. And I'll keep my thing for... Let me see. Let me just roll for both of them.
Yeah, sure. Cool. Good. Are you using it? Are you doing a feat?
I'm not using quick attack. I'm saving it
for two parries.
Do you know what? I'll try a feat. I'll try one feat and then use a parry.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So roll
to it. Okay, come on. What do I need for that? Ooh, I rolled a 15 plus, what was it again? Yeah. So, 6.
And that so is that's, what,
21? Is it enough for the...
Yes. So you get an extra attack with this. So you get 3 attacks this turn. Nice. For the next two.
Nice. Okay. Okie dokie. So I rolled a 16 plus 6 hit. And a 13 plus 6. I believe they're both hits.
All 3 hit. Okay, so that's 3d8 plus 12.
Nice.
Poor guy.
nice.
I'm going to knock it off.
He totally can. Okay. So, 4 plus 4 is 8. Plus, I rolled another 4 plus 4 is 8. Another 8. And I rolled a 1 plus 4, so it's a 5.
Okay, so that is 21 points of damage.
Jesus. So I go, pang, and with another, like, first with my main hand, pulling up with my other hand, and then I go in, following in up, just with my main hand. I'm going
to try and swing at you.
Yeah.
That was cocked. 3. I'm rolling terribly. That's a miss, and then 17, which does hit. However...
Does it? I could parry plus 5.
Yeah, you can add your skill level, so that's 2. Your skill level in the weapon you're training, which is
3 to your parry. Yeah, yeah, I'll parry it.
The first one's missed. The second one is going to hit you, but you bring your hand up and you get a lovely block on it. It was definitely going to hit me. People were like about the gas because this massive beast of a man was with it.
Straight for my face, like.
And you managed to block the strike. Okay. next round of the combat.
Ladies, do you want to place your bet?
Oh, if okay. Gwyn was here, she'd totally be betting on you right now.
Me, you know.
Now, if I'm gonna do the same again. I'm gonna keep 1 for a parry and I keep 1 for a quick attack if that's okay. So
yeah, that's definitely better. Yeah, cool.
Cool. Let me see.
Giving Arden a leg to be Mina's corner coach right now.
So
That'd be cool. 8 in total.
Oh, that's a miss.
So I miss. So I tried to swing too wide. Yep, I do have my second attack. Let me see how that goes. Oh, that's a 14 plus 6, 20.
That's a hit, so
1d8
plus 4.
Nice.
You d8 damage with your fists?
She's a
and there is, three yeah, d8 and... plus 4, yeah, because I have pugilism, what is it, pugilism 3, I think, yeah. So, I rolled a 3, but a 7.
I rolled for my 2 attacks and I got a 8 on one and a 13 on the other. So he has actually not landed any solid punches on you yet.
Too fast.
Yeah, so. People are quite excited. I was
hoping for a situation as, like, the boulder feels conflicted about fighting a little girl. Mm-hmm.
Well, start of the new initiative order, what are you doing? Same again?
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, trying for it.
Try to get your quick attack feet in.
Yeah. Woo! 17 plus yeah, 6 enough. Is... What is that? It's enough for the thing anyway. Fantastic. Noise. So let me see if the other two hit. I got a 16 a total, and then another 17 plus 6. What is that? 23? 17 or 23?
Yeah, that's...
I rolled a 17 plus 6 is 23. Yeah.
That was for your second attack, was it?
Yeah, that's for my second attack and the extra attack.
Yeah. Oh, so
I rolled a 16.
Oh, so yeah, they all hit.
Cool. Let me see what happened here. Oh, nice. 7, I rolled 7, 7, 4. So, 7 and 11, 4, 11, 11 another 11, and yeah, exactly.
Okay, right. He's actually looking pretty banged up, okay? So...
Okay, I'm going to start pulling my punches.
Well, it might be too late. My turn. Okay, that's a 19 on his first hit. 19 plus 6, that's a 25 on his first hit. Okay,
yep.
So your parry will not help you there.
No, it won't.
Because I think your parry... Okay, I want to let them
through anyway. I kind of need to give them a show, like, okay, you know?
And then...
Nat 20.
And Nat 20.
Nice.
So...
You're kidding.
What? I've been rolling terribly. I deserve him.
Not again.
He does.
So, 10 points of damage on the first punch. By the way, I didn't explicitly say it, but I thought it was assumed you're not wearing armor for this. You know? You're not stripped naked to the waist like he is, because you're a woman, but you're not wearing armor. So that's taking full damage. 10 points of damage. Okay. And then for the second attack... Oh, that's cocked. 18 points of damage. And nice. Can you roll a d10 for me, please?
I can never find d10s. I can never find d10s.
I think it's a d12.
9! Yeah.
Roll twice.
That's another...
You're getting two critical injuries.
Wait, what?
A one. So, he gets you a strike across the head with one punch, and, like, it tears open at your eye. Blood starts pouring down. So, that's going to be minus one penalty to all your attack rolls. Now, what's the second critical injury?
Okay, so a major critical.
If she rolls a 10, that was a 9. Major. A 9 again?
No, I rolled a 9, yeah. And I rolled a 1.
So, I need you to roll again.
Again?
Yeah. Okay. A 9 on the minor table is 2 injuries.
7.
Okay, I get you a really big uppercut punch right into your gut below your rib cage. You're pretty sure he may have gotten a liver punch and you spit out a bit of blood. Okay, now you...
Nice. You, I so, straighten up and go.
So, you only have one minor action per turn. And yep. You will need to give me a fortitude, stamina, or resolve willpower versus a target of 15 on the start of your turn to see if you can carry out a major action.
So, let's do that first.
You finally got these two hits on you, and, like, in a way it's not shocking, because this guy is monstrously big. So, when he finally landed these two hits, it's like, they did a lot of damage. So, what did you get for that?
Right. So... I need fortitude, you say, yeah?
And adds, do you have stamina?
I have stamina, yeah, and so I have might.
You can add the stamina to it as well, so it's a plus 3 to your roll.
Cool, 13.
That's not enough. You lose your major action for this turn.
Oh, you could use your inspiration die.
You could use your inspiration die.
I could use my inspiration die. Good point. 6.
Then you pass, you have a major action. But you only have one minor action for this turn. What are you spending?
That's fine. I'll save it for my parry.
Okay, so you're just going to pop.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut in. I was just like, to be
honest. No. I would have completely forgotten. That's perfect. But as usual, we have a terrible history of forgetting our inspiration.
Yeah, well, to be fair, T is really good at remembering, but the rest of us...
He's really good. I honestly
just shocked.
I always forget. Now, okay, wish me luck. Okay, I have a 90 plus... what was it? 6.
That's a hit.
And then I have a 16 plus
that's
6.
That's a hit.
Gamina! I believe in you.
So roll for damage.
I go pop. Oh, I rolled 2 2s, so 2 6s.
Okay, your first shot into the gut. Okay, mm-hmm. And he is badly injured. Your next shot, describe how you finish him.
Okay, so the first one goes into the gut.
Yeah.
And then I imagine he's kind of exactly, but like kind of trying to block, but because I'm so small, I'm kind of jumping up from underneath.
You can now reach his face.
Right into Jin.
Yeah.
Right in, yeah. Right into Jin. Like,
boom. So, yeah.
I jump. I have to, like, I put a oomph behind it with a jump.
Yeah. The first goal punch doubles him over enough that you actually, for the first time, are able to connect with his face because. Previously, he was too tall, and this jumping uppercut, you send him, and he goes clear back onto his back, and he is knocked out. And the crowd goes wild. There's a lot of angry men, an awful lot of angry men, because...
Suck it up.
They'd obviously bet against you, you know?
Yeah.
But a couple of the people, and there's a couple of women in the crowd as well, who are very excited by this. And you see Alclair coming up to you, and you get he looks a bit annoyed. As he turns out, well, ladies and gentlemen, this has to be one of the quickest fights we've ever had down here. Don't be worried, we will certainly have the mighty Mina back again, I can promise you that. And then there's some cheers of, the mighty Mina, yay! And you are
kind of pull some.
I do this,
you know, and just kind of put sweat, but also blood out, and I just kind of go.
Yeah, there is still blood from the eye wound, like not eye. You know the way in boxing that they aim for the eye, the skin is tight. So that is split open. Your forehead just above the eye
just kind of pours into my eye.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's what it's like.
So,
and it just go like this, and it just go.
Yeah, so you splotch it on the floor off to the side.
I gave me a bad injury once.
Yes, you did. Although it was with a quarterstaff. Right to there. It was before we started dating. I don't know if that makes it better or worse. So, you stumble off to the side and you're kind of standing there for a minute. You don't know what to do when somebody hands you a handkerchief.
Oh, thank you. I just stab it onto my...
Cleaning it on, trying to stop the wound.
I don't know if it's left or right, but I just dab it onto.
So, dabbing and cleaning, and you manage to, after a couple of seconds, staunch up the wound enough. And looking, you see a man that you actually recognize. This is somebody who you haven't seen for a while, but you did briefly meet in Cherville.
It's about
170 centimeters, curly brown hair, tan Mediterranean skin. This, that, the mysterious traveler, Tito.
Oh! Yay! How are you?
Better.
It's so good to see you.
And you too, Mademoiselle, though I wasn't expecting to see you here.
Well, Tito.
Yes, I suppose. How are you doing, Mademoiselle?
I'm doing okay.
Are you and your friends well?
Yes, my friends are well. I'm just kind of, you know, letting out some pent-up energy and having some fun. How about you?
traveling, as I always do.
So what brought you to Paris?
The road.
Really?
As I said before, I'm a wanderer.
You just follow the road, fair enough.
I follow the road and it leads me to interesting places. Like when I ended up in that town of Cheville and there was those shape-shifting fae.
Yeah, that was really weird, wasn't it?
I've had stranger things happen to me in my travels.
I suppose.
And you're here on your own. Your friends are not here.
No, they don't really know what I'm doing at the moment.
I was assuming as such, because...
Yeah, some of them wouldn't approve.
The Prussian certainly wouldn't approve.
No, I don't think she would.
No, she's very protective, that one. A bit of a mammy, really.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just here to hone my skills and, you know...
If I may be so bold, your skills do not look like they need honing.
Yeah, I think I've been annoying Monsieur
Claire?
Because it was a little bit too quick. But I didn't really think he was such a big, massive wall of a man. I thought I needed a little bit more imp behind my punches. Well, I suppose the next time I'll pull my punches, you know.
I think it was just simply that they were well aimed. Though, to be truthfully, if I were fighting a man of that size, I'd want to end the fight quickly as well.
It's supposed to be, you know,
these
long fights, and yes, entertaining.
I mean, certainly in my time, not that I frequent these things often, but I have witnessed some fights that have gone on for 100 rounds.
Yeah, that's very long.
Yeah. 50, I think, is the average length of most of these fights. What you guys did was the equivalent of maybe like 5 to 10 rounds.
Yeah. Done. Bing, bing, bing.
Exchange, yeah. It was about somewhere between 5 and 10 rounds worth of exchanges. Okay. That's what that was. Yes, it was very interesting. And as he's saying that, you see Auclair is coming over, and he's not on his own. There is another man with him, kind of early 50s, average height, grey thinning hair, slightly plump build, extremely well-dressed. He's wearing a fine brocaded waistcoat of rich reds and blues. He's carrying in his hand an cane of ebony and ivory. This man is clearly a lot of money.
Yeah.
And as they can say, so, come on, Auclair, introduce me to this new one. I lost a lot of money on you tonight, mademoiselle. I won't make that mistake again. And Auclair says,
this is
the mighty Mina, and this is Monsieur Gerard Contemanche, a very important man in the city.
Okay.
It says, I suppose I am somewhat important. I work in trade. It's what I do. But I like to get out and have a bit of fun as well. Nights like this is a nice, harmless bit of fun for all. And, you know, an opportunity for people to make some coin. At which Pinocchio goes, yes. And as a matter of fact, here is your purse for the night. And he hands you a small bag of money.
Me?
Yes. Yes, you do get a section or a cut of the purse, you know.
Very good, very good.
Do you open it?
I just go look up to him and say, like, no, I won't be that. I won't be that crook, crass. But I say, like, I do apologize. Apparently, I was a little bit too fast. But he was, as I said, he was very big. I thought he might be able to take my full punches. I shall pull my punches next time.
They both laugh at this. Courtemanche especially likes this. He likes this a lot, okay? O'Kerr is like, he's laughing along, but you can tell he's annoyed because he would have made more money, you see? Because, you know,
yeah, of course,
there would have been more rounds of betting going on. So so you've kind of cut him a bit, but he's also now looking on you differently. You just proved yourself as a clearly a highly skilled fighter. So he's already thinking, I will definitely make some money off you tonight.
Okay? You see the dollar signs and dollar signs in his eyes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this guy is an underworld businessman, you know? So, he goes, excuse me, monsieur, I must announce the next fight. All right. And he says, of course, my friend. Of course, I guess. And he says, all right. And our main fight for the night, our reigning champion, the mighty Florian Chastain, who is going to be fighting the equally mighty Pierre Guidé. And so you see these two guys coming out. The guy that they're talking about, the champion, he's tall, he's strong, very well-defined muscles, kind of sandy blonde hair, square jaw. So he's also, you know, topless. And you can see around his neck, he's got a couple of little trinkets and amulets, okay? He's got what looks to be a couple of different types of claws. It looks like there's maybe a rabbit's foot. There's a small little leather pouch around his neck as well. And it reminds you of some of the stuff you've seen Gwyn carry on her.
Yeah, totally.
His physique-wise, like, he's very, very strong. But think gymnast's physique. So very well-defined, strong build, but lean, okay?
Yeah.
And then the other guy who's coming at him, another brute of a guy, even bigger than the guy you fought. This guy's hitting about 2 meters, thick neck, bulging muscles. Massive brute of a guy, okay? And they start into each other, and it's a pretty vicious and deadly fight. The so-called champion, Florian, he's very, very fast. Very, very fast. The other guy is strong. He's not quite the charging brute that you are facing. He's clearly a more intelligent fighter, and he's landing a few good hits on Florian. But Florian's range of fight, and he gets some really strong hits. And this is a really, really, like, it's a very equal match. And you see, but you also see Florian taking a more defensive stance. He's letting this guy charge in on him and trying to wail on him, but he's easily evading these strikes. And this goes on for like a good, like, 5-6 minutes. And then he starts laying into him punch after punch after punch. Heavy, vicious, well-aimed blows. He's doing a lot of damage. And then your man gets his clock at his jaw and he kind of stumbles back. And you're like, you're not sure, was he really hit that hard or is he play-acting the fight, okay? And the fight continues on for like, the exchange goes on for like well over 20 minutes. And by these guys are exhausted by the end of it. But then eventually the champion gets this incredible double blow, almost identical to your finishing moves, a heavy gut punch, and then doesn't have to jump the way you did to reach, but this powerful uppercut right to the jaw and sends him on his back. And there is cheers from all.
Amina was studying this very intensely.
Yeah, like, this guy definitely is a trained fighter, without question. Easily as good, if not better, than you. And he moved with an incredible speed. He was very good at covering himself. It was very, very interesting. Like, quite a lot of the time, the punches seemed to glance off him. Even the ones that connected didn't seem to do as much damage as you would have expected. And there was a couple of moments where it really seemed like, you know, luck was on his side, where he'd managed to, like, step back, or his opponent was looking like he was going to land a definite hit and he'd stumbled slightly. It was quite an exciting fight. Very, very exciting, very, very skillful exchange between two very good fighters. One very much relying on some fighting experience, but also brute strength. And then the other
brute
guy,
strength, and the other one is very definitely the experienced fighter.
Extremely strong as well, but also a very skilled fighter.
Amina would have made mental notes during that fight.
Yeah. Like, you're looking at the other guy and you're like, I don't know if I could have beat this guy. You know, like, maybe, but he'd definitely be a lot harder than the guy I beat today.
Yeah, because the other guy wasn't a really intelligent fighter. Like,
he was a buffalo.
I will try and talk to, like, I will give Florian here some time to.
So you see,
like, recover him, a bit, but I'll try to approach him and talk to him later.
When he gets back, you see him walking over to two individuals. They're both quite elderly. An elderly man. Now, when I say elderly, we're talking like mid to late 60s. A more elderly man and an elderly woman, and they start tending to his wounds. And nobody's really approaching them. There's like definite bit of distance from them. But you see that now that this fight's over, people are starting to leave. This was the fight of the night, and people are starting to leave. And as the crowd starts to move, you're trying to keep track of him, but after a moment, he's disappeared in the crowd because, like, the throng of people gone in front of you, he's just disappeared off. And Tito turns to you and says, "Well, mademoiselle, if you would like, I can accompany you. I know you do not need me to make sure you get safe home, but a gentleman does."
I would appreciate a company, actually, you know.
Of course. Right. So he leads you out the way he came up. Okay. Suzette sees you're following this guy, so she can make her own assumptions, but she's like, "I don't care. I'm not worried about you now. You obviously have your own plan for the night." And lead you back up through some of the catacombs, into a crypt, into the back of a church. People are coming out, and there's a priest there waiting, and he's being dropped a couple of coin. And yous are amongst the last to leave, and as you're leaving, he's locking the door. So this is a nice little side business for this priest, an entrance fee into the catacombs. All right, and you two start making your way back to Amanata's Hall.
Very nice.
Tito, so have you, I assume you've gotten up to many interesting things since last I spoke to you.
Oh yes, and while we are walking, I'm opening the purse to see how much money it is.
There is 10 gold coins in the purse.
Okay, yeah, that's all right.
A not insignificant sum of money, you know? Yes, quite nice.
I look it in, I go quickly mentally count it, like, and then cold closes, and I go, it's all right. And, put it away.
Not bad for 20 minutes work.
Exactly. And I'll talk to Tita and say, like, well, you know, me, this and that, we met an artificer, we kind of do a little bit of work every now and again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see. They often need adventures for their work.
They're interested in any sort of magical artifacts they could study, to reverse engineer, yeah.
I was about to ask, have you been sent on any excursions to any Fey Mounds? That's a favorite process by artificers to expand their wares.
Oh yeah, and I tell him the adventure we had and the one of fame and with all the acrobatics and the things and how much fun we had. It was, and I just tell him, oh, it was amazing, like, mm-hmm. it was fabulous, and then you should have seen, and then how, my friend Gwyn turned into a cat and she just kind of slinked around, whereas the rest of us, we were like, jumping. And then my friend Aminata is like so elegant the way she's like a gymnast trying, and she was little vaulting. And I was just literally describing it in the most, floral, most colorful way I can, making it sound even more awesome than it actually was.
And he listens to it all, taking it all on board. Like, he did see you guys in action to an extent, so he has a rough idea of the group's capabilities. He is listening to you the whole time. He's letting you talk. He doesn't interrupt you at all. These appropriate moments of praise during the conversation. It's about a 30-minute walk. I think we said 30, 40-minute walk from where Amanat lives to where You've come out, so you'd come in at Notre Dame de Paris, where you'd come out was a bit further away. So it's probably more like 40 minutes now, actually, to get back.
I'll also ask him, where do you stay at the moment? Where are you staying?
I have some lodgings in Montmartre.
Okay.
Yes, it's a simple, nice room, relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, that's funny. I actually got to move there on, what is tonight, Friday? On Sunday, actually, 2 days' time, I'm going to move out to Montmartre as well.
Oh, you have lodgings there, yes?
Yes.
Excellent. Yes,
it's just a simple room, just like yourself. It's nice. It's a bit outside of the city, and it's less with the whole poshness. It's more simple, and I kind of like it. I don't know. I sometimes feel a little bit... I don't know, with all them fancy people, it's a little bit like, well, I don't know what to do, so I feel more at home with more simple folk, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, for myself, I like that area because I never know how long I'll stay in one place. The kind of lodgings, you can get short-term lodgings in places like Monmouth.
Yes.
Which is
great. I think seems an interesting place as well.
Right. So you have a nice conversation. He's chatting to you, you know. Yeah. Listen, as I said, letting you talk, listening to you until you eventually get to Amanada's house. And he says, well, Mademoiselle, it was a pleasure. I would not be at all surprised if our paths cross again.
Yeah, probably. Well, till next time. You take care of yourself.
You too, bon nuit. And you head back in to the house. So I can't remember what time did we say it was.
Trying to be quiet and kind of sneak in, you know.
Give me a stealth roll.
Oh god, I rolled an 11.
Okay. It's
let me see what's my stealth. Nothing,
no,
probably.
Zero. You have a bit of dex. I have a dex of three,
actually. Yeah. So, yeah, 14.
So, I'm trying to remember. I think you'd met Suzetta about, I think it was 9 o'clock when you'd met her. It was around then, from what
I remember. It's at 9 o'clock. Like, yeah, it was 9 o'clock. Like, yeah.
So you were in the catacombs for between walking there, your fight, watching the other fight. You were there for a bit of about an hour and a half. And so it's probably a little bit after 11. So Sylvia spent the day basically reading.
Are you mute?
Sylvia is still awake.
And
Her plan was to stay up reading, mm-hmm. studying the book, cast restoration on herself the next day.
Oh, you're...
So she's...
Then!
She's awake.
And would she be upstairs in the bedroom or down in, like, the living room space?
She probably would have stayed in the living room because she wouldn't want to be... Like, she'd be making herself tea and... Or, you know... Or
okay, to, well,
I know,
German
story, drink tea. She's awake. And she's just... Every so often, she's getting up and pacing because, like, Mina's not back, and that's really weird. But she is reading.
Okay. Give me an awareness roll.
Like, she's kind of listening out for Mina, but not, like... Oh.
Mommy at the door.
Okay, I only got a 5, but... Sorry, 6. 6.
6 total. Okay.
But, like... She is awake.
Mina was trying to sneak in.
Okay,
I'm going to say. So what I will say is that you think you hear a noise and you get out just in time to see the very back of Mina going up to her bedroom.
Oh, Mina, where have you been?
No, hey, I've been just out.
I wouldn't turn my back to you.
I would just kind of go, oh, hey, do you know what I mean? Like that, kind of like, oh, yeah, hi, how are you?
I can see the blood.
Half the side, so you don't see the bad side.
Well, the blood was mostly on the left-hand side of her face, she could try to...
And I'm wearing a jacket on top of my bloody shirt, like, so you wouldn't, you know what I mean? I'm trying not to,
I'm going to say she's probably just because of, like, you're at the bottom of the stairs, she's at the top, she's kind of like this. It's like, oh, yeah, just talking over her shoulder. You're probably not going to see the injuries.
I'm fine.
Okay.
In the morning, you definitely will.
Yeah.
So we...
Where are you?
Oh, I was just out organising stuff and, you know, don't worry about it. Like, anyway, I'm really tired. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Okay,
have a good sleep.
I want to be sleeping, but okay, thank you.
Are you reading then? Have a good read.
Okay, Mina sneaking up, trying not to get seen by her friend, Sylvia, worried that she was out so late, and I don't know how...
Fuck it, she's home now, it's Grant.
You go back to bed, or not back to bed, back to the book, continuing to read for the night, using your magic to allow you to power through, while Mina tries to sneak into her bedroom, like a child sneaking into the house, not being spotted by the mother.
You know, try to kind of, you know, make up as much as I can.
I mean, you can clean the blood off, but there's a bad gash there.
I'll clean that out as much as I can and just kind of put something on it and I'll be fine.
The bruise is already beginning to form and there's a couple of other bruises in the morning. Yeah. Your lip is partially swollen. There's no way you're hiding this.
Probably lovely bruises where my liver is.
So, with you covered in bruises and somewhat injured, Sylvia... reading, the rest of the group asleep. This is a perfect place to pause momentarily in our
story. Mina, having had a wonderfully fun but extremely dangerous time at this literally underground fight club, now home safe but covered in bruises from the fight itself, how will her friends react when they see her in the morning? She's not going to be able to keep this secret. Join us next time to find out. If you enjoyed this adventure and would like to know more about the world of Feyreth, please be sure to check out our itch.io page, fey-art.itch.io. You'll find a ton of really great products there. We've got a bunch of one-shots and a starter adventure, Trouble in the North, all of which come with quick play guides and pre-generated characters. If you want to get more in-depth, there is Explorer's Guide to Feyreth. This is an early release core rulebook with everything you need to play up to 10th level, as well as our lore primer and a really, really fun rules light game, Fey Wanderer, a whimsical game set in the Fey Realm, suitable for all ages. Also, don't forget, our Kickstarter in March could really do with your support. So please, if you could check that out, we would be extremely grateful.